You can turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Now, this is going to be my foundation scripture for this morning. Now, God in the Old Testament, through Moses, he gave the law. The law basically said, you do, God says he'll do. You don't, God says he won't. And there were consequences to breaking the law. Some of those consequences were severe. And when God gave the Ten Commandments and he began to build off those commandments, because the Word of God is established line upon line and precept upon precept, God began to build. There was one command that he connected a promise to. No other command up to that point did God connect a promise. God said, thou shalt not steal, and with thou shalt not steal, that was it. Thou shalt not commit adultery, that was it. But in verse 12, God said, honor. He just didn't say love. He didn't say like. He said, honor your father and your mother. And then he gives a promise. He didn't say he gave you money. He didn't say he gave you a nice house. He didn't say he'd give you a good job. He didn't say he'd give you a brand new, spanking, shiny new car. You know what God promised when you honored your father and your mother? He promised long life. See, if an automobile is destroyed in an accident, you can replace it. Anything material really can be replaced, but you can't be replaced. God only made one of you, just one. There's never going to be another you. So God wants you to live as long as you can. Yes, it is appointed unto man to die in the judgment, but God doesn't shorten days just because it's appointed unto man to die. And God says, I will give you a long life if you would honor the two people that he uses to bring you into the earth. There's something special about giving honor. Yes, we honor God, but God places people in the earth that we're to honor, bless, pray for, love, speak well of. And so God, through the law, told me I could have a long life if I will honor my dad. Well, my dad is with the Lord, but I still can honor him. He was a good man, deacon. Deacon Mason. It got a nice ring to it. My dad went to work every day. God used he and my mom to do that love and their union to bring forth five wonderful children in here. Provided for his house. We got to church every Sunday. No, he was no spiritual giant. He couldn't spout out scripture for every occasion and every circumstance, just verbatim without, you know, having memorized the whole Bible, but he was walking in what he knew. He was married to my mom and only my mom. He honored his dad, Grandpa Philip Mason, Disputana, Virginia. Y'all know what Disputana is? Philip Mason. He was also a deacon. And my dad, rain, snow, good weather, bad weather, hot, cold. On Sunday, he was going, as we used to call it, down the country to see his dad. It's an awesome thing. I look at my father-in-law and how his siblings, along with my wife, of course, how they honor him. They take care of him. He's pretty much in the bed now most of the time. He's 94. He's 94 years young. His mind is still there. physically. He can't do the things that he used to do, but I don't think at 94, we wouldn't hold that against him. But those children honor him. They look after him when the nurses come by to bathe him and take care of him. They make sure it's done right. Many times my wife would have to leave the home and get a call from her mom. Daddy's not doing well. He's not feeling well. She's up there in Ashland. She says, honor. And many people would never equate their circumstances or getting out of their circumstances to honoring or dishonoring their dad or their mom. Some years ago, my wife had an illness, got a bad report. She's through there. Thank you, Jesus. Everything great. Everything good. It's all good. It's all good. But many people would never equate the fact that perhaps, just perhaps, healing came. Because remember, doctors can't bring healing. They can help you, but they can't heal you because she honored her dad. And even though the devil wanted to take her life because God had promised long life. And if God said it, that settles it. I don't care what the world says, but God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No, God said it, and it's settled whether you believe it or not. Because his word is forever settled. And while your mom and your dad is alive, children, I don't care if you're 50 years old, you need to honor them. You don't do anything to embarrass your parents in public. Anything. I don't care if they blow it. I'm not saying you can't, as they get older, you can't give them advice or try to help them, but you don't do anything to embarrass them. You be like the sons of Noah. And I've talked about this for years, and I'm not going to preach on that, but when they saw their daddy drunk and naked, they didn't laugh and scoff and look at him. No, they came in backwards, and they went to cover their dad. Learn to cover your parents. When you see their faults, don't dare talk to anybody about your parents' faults. Yeah, you're going to see them disagree sometime as husband and wife. You may even see them get into a heated discussion. I didn't say argument. I just said heated. Because, you know, Christian parents, Christian husband and wife don't get into arguments. We just get into heated discussions, which we can also throw some water on it and cool it down. That's called the word. You know, the water is the word. Some of you didn't get that, didn't catch that right away. You know, you put the word on it and it cools it down. You don't talk to anybody about your parents. Only speak well of your father and your mother. Because not only will God bless them, God blesses you. Now, let me look at a couple of people here in the scripture, and then I'm going to dismiss you. I'm going to look at Noah and Job, and then I want a few scriptures I'm going to read in the book of Numbers, and I'm going to let you go home. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this, but we know the story. Noah, God says he's going to send the floods, and it's coming. And it was a judgment against the earth. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creepy thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah, I want you to be able in your Christian life for God to say, but whatever your name is. That even when he pronounces judgments in the earth, he says, but your own box. He says, but Gregory Carter. Now, God's not going to use your title because your title doesn't make you. But Wendell Tomlin. See, even in judgment, God has somebody he can say, but. Even though there's great wickedness, I was at a function last night. Many of you were there. How would Jesus vote symposium? And there's wickedness in this earth. And some of us in the church. But Marvin Mason. See, God got to have somebody he can say, but in the face of darkness. Because the light always dispels the darkness. Darkness can never dispel light. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man. This man is recorded for eternity to see. He was just. This wasn't a rumor. God recorded for eternity for every single human being who would ever live had the potential to see that Noah was just. And we should all want that testimony.
Yeah.
Go see Wendell. He's a just man. Go see Amin. He's a just man. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. As you heard me say, that walking is not a physical one, it's your lifestyle.
Right.
How you living. God recorded for all eternity to see. Here's a man that's not only just, he walks with me. His lifestyle is an example of what he says he believes. And then it says in verse 18, God says, I will establish my covenant, talking about Noah, with you. And notice this. Now, God says he's going to destroy the earth. He said, Noah, I'll give you the short version, and I want to read all this. It's going to take too much time. God was going to wipe everybody out but Noah. But he says, my covenant is with you, and you shall go into the ark by yourself. My covenant is with you, but because I'm in covenant with you, you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. A whole family got saved because of one man's dedication. Daddies, can you understand? Fathers, can you understand? Men, can you understand just how important you are in the earth? I didn't even say for the kingdom. I said just in the earth. Your whole family salvation can hinge on your devoutness. That's an awesome responsibility, and that's why I believe there are men who run away from it. It's too heavy for them. They can't take it. You mean, God, you put the whole weight on my shoulders? Yes, you are strong enough and broad enough to handle it. God says, I think more of you than you think of yourself. You are strong enough to carry your family. Don't put the weight on your wife, telling her to get the kids up to go to church. Uh-uh. You might get mad at me. Pardon my English, but you ain't much of a man. You throw that all on your wife. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You tell your family. I said, you tell. I'm not talking about domination, but you tell your family. God said he chose Abraham because he will command his household. Where are we going on Sunday morning? Husband, we're going to church. Okay, we're going this Sunday. Are we going next Sunday? We go every Sunday. This is what we do. This is who we are. We go to church on Sunday. It should be a strange thing for you not to be in church on Sunday morning. Oh, really? You should be. I remember my wife and I went on vacation once. We didn't know what to do. It was a Sunday. We got up and was like, man, we go to church on Sunday. We go to church. We got to find a church. I don't care whose church. We got to find a church. I think I started looking in the Yellow Pages. I didn't know any churches in the area. I think we even called Deacon Ramon. Our deacon, can you tell us where church? We got to go to church. Now, some folk did not sing until they had a cup of coffee in the morning. Maybe I'm talking about some of y'all. You know, you got to have that. You know, boy, now don't talk to me until I had my fourth cup. Now you can talk. Where it's like, if we don't go to church, don't talk to me until I've been to church. If I'm not going to church, you may not want to be around me if I can't go to church. Because this is what I do. I'm a Christian. God told me, don't forsake the assembly of myself with others. Job. Learn this from dads. Just one verse. Job chapter 1, verse 5. Just one verse. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would sin and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, he's referring to his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did continually. What did Job do? He didn't say his sons had sinned. just in case. The Bible says he rose up early and he made an offering. And today we would call it an intercession. Job would rise up early, intercede for his sons, not because they'd done anything, but just in case. That's what I call love. And again, notice the responsibility was not on the wife. He took it. He took the weight. Men, take the weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. You take the weight. You don't put that on your woman. Lastly, Numbers chapter 30, first 5 verses. This is the thing which the Lord God has commanded. Husbands, and in particular dads, I want you to hear this. And potential dads. If a man vows a vow to the Lord and swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He goes on to say, if a man vows a vow to the Lord and swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Or if a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth. And dads, I want you to listen. And her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand. Notice what the authority that the daughter's vow is based on the daddy's response. If he holds his peace, then she's bound. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand. And that's an awesome responsibility. God says to me, when, especially when my children were younger, in their younger days, that if my daughter or my son make a vow and I hear it, I have the authority to allow it or disallow it. You can't see why the devil doesn't want daddies in the family? See, God didn't say mom. He said dad. And see, now you have a lot of people, they're not there. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, but I'm talking about these guys that's having children and not taking care of them. There's no one there to disallow the vow. So, you have children making vows. They don't even know what they're talking about. But they think they're grown. Some of them, matter of fact, let me be even more plain, some of them have had to be grown and make grown-up decisions because the father's not there. Some of those vows are wrong. God requires me as a father not to put that weight on my wife, that when my children make a vow, it's up to me. While they're in my house, it's up to me to allow or disallow. If it's contrary to the word of God, I disallow that vow in my house. What are you doing in your house? What you allowing or disallowing in your house? And that's just not your address. That's this house. Because this is the temple. I said, this is the place where God wants to inhabit and make himself an abode in you. It's not your address. It's here. It's in your heart. God wants you to command this house and command your residence and command this house. See, that's one of my responsibilities as a pastor. When I hear young people make a vow unto God in this house, it's up to me to allow or disallow. And when it's contrary to the word of God, it's disallowed. That's the responsibilities of elders or those in positions of leadership or seniority, to protect the young. Young people don't understand. Many times they're unprotected. They look at whatever they want to look at. They read whatever they want to read. They watch whatever they want to watch. And God has not commanded a parent to be a friend. Am I right or wrong? While your children are young, you are not to be their friend, their cut buddy, their dog. You're my dog, Dad. You're my dog. Be calling me no dog. I'm your dad. You say, sir, to me. You don't say, don't call me no dog. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to command this household. As for me in my house, you're going to church. As for me in this house, when you make a vow, even unto God, that I know was ungodly, I disallow the vow. Why would you do that? Because you want to dominate? No, I want to protect and keep you alive. Because there are forces, once you leave the house, that are designed to take your life. Now, I didn't say for you to have a hard day. I said, take your life. And let me close. Children, I hope you learn a very valuable lesson about your parents. They're not trying to not let you have fun. They're not trying to not let you have and enjoy your youth. But there are people out there who are not for your good, who will tell you they're your friend, but they'll destroy your life, saying they're your friend. We know if a young man or young girl is in a car, one of their buddies wants a ride, and they have some drugs or whatever on them, and you get pulled over because you invited them in that car. You can be as innocent as you want to be, but you are responsible for whoever you let in your car. Now, I think most of us understand that, but let me take that further. You're responsible for whoever you let in your heart. Did you hear me? Whoever you let in your heart, whoever you give your heart to, that's your responsibility. So you have to guard your heart. Don't give it away cheaply. Think more of yourself. God made me somebody special. God made me special. He accepts me. God wants the best for me. If God wants the best for me, why shouldn't I want the best for me? God has placed people in my life. And even though it may not be a biological dad, it may be a friend, it may be a relative, someone that God uses to father you, even though biologically they may not be your dad. Somebody of influence that keeps you on the straight and narrow. Maybe you have several young folk that have graduated high school. I'm sure some of them will be going away to college. First time out the house. Mom and dad are not there now. They can kick it. Now we start kicking now. Well, you better watch kicking it. There are wolves out there ready and waiting. You come on that campus and you're what they call a freshman. They see you as fresh. They know the deal. They know the words. They know what's going to get your attention. But thank God you got the words of a dad in your heart. And so when the wolves come on the scene, and they don't come saying I'm a wolf, okay? The devil is what? He comes as what? An angel of light or a sheep? Thank you. Well, actually, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, but that's okay. The devil doesn't come saying, I'm the devil. The wolf doesn't come saying, I'm the wolf. Demons don't come saying, I'm a demon. But I ask God, God, if I can't discern myself, then let the words of my dad come to me. You know what the two-letter word is? Thank you. And if that doesn't work, that's a five-letter word that's guaranteed to work. You know what that word is? Thank you. Now, I can tell you, give me 5 minutes and I'm closing. I can tell you from personal experience, when I was in the world, I didn't want to hear that name. I'd rather you tell me no, get away from me, but don't start talking about that Jesus. Man, I won't be around you, because see, people in the world know, a lot of times they don't take that first note, but man, that first Jesus does something. Oh, Lord have mercy, she go to church. I remember my first date. You remember your first date? My first date was going to church. I didn't go to church. Don't you get it? Kay Coleman, I don't go to church. I didn't say I couldn't go. I don't go. Well, if you're going to see me, the only place you're going to see me is not going to be in the club, and it's not going to be at home when my parents gone. It's going to be at church. Now, I had a choice. I'm all in love. I'm sweating and goosebumps all over me. I don't know what to do. Oh, Lord, I got to go to church. I got up there all nervous. I got to go to church. I've been to church 10 years. I got to go to church. I don't even know what to do in church. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what I wear? And then we go to a Howard Johnson's, or I think it was a Howard Johnson's, a Holiday Inn, and I didn't know where else you'd be. We going to church. And walking in, you hear this noise, tambourine. And I'm going, oh my goodness, these are holy rollers. I mean, it's bad enough I don't go to church. At least take me to somebody that got a choir and a pathway and a robe. You done took me to a holy roller. You done took me to an extreme. I ain't doing nothing them folk doing. And doing all that dancing and clapping and all that. And I sure ain't gonna get up there and sing. Be careful what you tell God what you not gonna do. God has a way of working. And I'm gonna close with this. One of my wife and I's greatest testimony. She never dishonored her dad with me. See, her dad told her, you got to stop seeing him. I know y'all shocked. What? As nice as my pastor is? Well, I wasn't that nice then. And you weren't that nice then either, okay? Before you got born again. And her dad said, you can't see him. She did not sneak around and see me. Her dad said, he ain't the one. And she would not dishonor her dad. She did not go out with me until her dad said so. Now you wonder why, man, we 26 years marriage, only been married to one another. See, it cost me something. She wasn't given to me free of charge. Her dad saw her value, and you can't have my daughter until I say so. So you know who I had to prove myself to? It wasn't just her. Guess what? I had to prove myself to Norman Coleman. And Norman Coleman had a shotgun that he used to keep beside the refrigerator. I don't know where he keep it now. He probably still got it. But he used to hunt. Them out there in the woods, and I saw it. I think he put it there to make sure I saw it. You ain't messing up with my daughter. She's a baby girl. She did not dishonor her dad. That's why the Lord keeps it. Some of you can walk in health right now. You need to repent of negative stuff you said against your dad or mom. I'm not saying you got to run to them, although it may be good. Because I do believe there are times when the repentance has to be as wide as the transgression. But some of us, our health is depending on how we honor our parents. And it's not a thing a doctor can do for you. And Jesus said, God, I take back every negative word I said against my dad. I don't care if it wasn't a perfect man. Neither am I. And from this moment, I purpose in my heart, don't let a curse come out of my mouth against my parents. Because I want a long life. And I want a healthy life.